Everyone. Today's reading comes from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 26. It can be found on page 1066 in your Pew Bibles. That's a well-known date. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 26, page 1066. Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And I'm just going to move up here. Passage has been great this week. It's rapidly becoming my favourite passage in John's Gospel. We've been talking recently about welcome quite a lot. If you want to join the welcome team, then speak to Dai Shimwell afterwards. We are trying to make this place a much more welcoming, because we have this vision, this line that we've got, welcoming all to walk with Jesus, and our vision is to grow in relationship with God as we refocus on families, as we engage with our communities. This is what we want to be about. We want to welcome people because we want them to walk with Jesus. That's what we're about. I want to talk about welcome, because welcome, often you ask churches, are we a welcoming church? Well, if you do any church survey, guarantee you, one of the top things that people will always say, "Oh, we're really friendly and welcome." I've read loads of parish profiles, yeah, and they always start, "We're a friendly church." Strangely, people don't go, "We're a really unfriendly church. We don't like people. We don't want you to come in." Yeah, they don't do that, because it's like asking your mates, If you go to all your mates and say, I'm a good friend, am I a friend to you? Well, of course they're going to say yeah. If they weren't your friend, they wouldn't be there, would they? They wouldn't be speaking to you. The people that are here in church are people that feel welcome because we're a part of the family. The people that aren't here in this church, the people that don't feel welcome. There's quite a lot of them. We need to be a place that's welcome so people can come into this place because we want them to walk with Jesus. We're pointing them to that place. That's what we're about. Now, I found a little picture of our church. As when you walk in, go on. When you walk into our church, often signs tells you something. Yeah, and you walk into this church, and there's actually two things that you can read. As you come round the corner there, there's a big sign on the wall that says Church Watch. And then there was a sign on this door up until last week that said Thieves Beware. Yeah, on the door as you came to church. That's interesting, isn't it? Is that welcoming? Yeah, Thieves Beware. Yeah, we put these up because we put smart water on the drain pipes so people wouldn't nick the lead off the top. So we actually don't want thieves to nick the lead off the top of the roof. Yeah, and we do want them to be a bit aware. I thought we're kind of prophetic, isn't it? Because Jesus was on the cross alongside two thieves. You know, hold on a minute. They were quite welcome, weren't they? Or is it kind of thieves beware? Jesus is going to do something to you. Yeah, you know, well, I want to put a bit of graffiti on there. Thieves beware, Jesus loves you. Isn't it? I found this week. I'm just going to read, hold on, little picture. Sorry, I'm not checking my Facebook post. Yeah, honestly. On a sign in America on a church, and it just says, just love everyone. I'll sort them out later. From God. Just love everyone. I'll sort them out later. Love God. Love that. That's what I want to be about. You're welcome. Too much. People come to church and they see thieves beware. I want them to see. Just love them. They'll sort it out later. And that's what this message is about today. We want people to be welcome. People would really love to be welcome. Right, here's some pictures. Wouldn't it be great? Right, we've got all this music equipment here. So if you write good on a guitar, wouldn't it be great to have loads of musicians come along to church and we can get the music going? Wouldn't that be ace? Wouldn't it be great to have, you know, a billionaire with loads of money to chuck around? Yeah, because I've got loads of things you could spend it on. Yeah, we could. I'd love to get a big glass frontage to church to make people feel really welcome. I'd love it. We haven't, but you know, if there's any millionaires want to come, you're more than welcome. Yeah. Well, millionaires, quite welcome. Billionaires, really welcome. Yeah. we'd love some more families to come and join us at church because it creates a wonderful atmosphere, doesn't it, when we gather our families and children. It is beautiful. If there's any builders, that'd be cracking, you know, because what bits that we need to sort out, and so Charlie and Martin would be right interested to speak to a builder that could help sort out some of the problems that we've got. If somebody's got any scaffolding to get to these light bulbs as well, that'd be quite useful so that we can change them bulbs because they're a bit rubbish. We want those people. We'd love some really friendly 20-somethings people that like just got energy and enthusiasm and brightness. We'd love them. I'd love some people with intelligence. Yes, well, you're not meant to laugh that much. Yeah, I'd love some people, intelligent people, some bright people. I'd love some people with ideas to help us at this church. There's all of these people that I'd love to see in this church. They are all welcome. Don't get me wrong. Jesus meets this woman in this passage. This woman at the well. Jesus is a rising star as a rabbi. He's just met John the Baptist, who is a star. People are flocking to the wilderness to be baptized by John. And John says, this person, I am not even worthy to tie the straps on their sandals. He will do so much more than me. John introduces Jesus. This guy, his career is ready to rocket. And he meets this woman at the well. This encounter is interesting because this is not the right person. She is a Samaritan. Now, if you don't know what a Samaritan is, an area called Samaria. If you go into the Old Testament, there's a story of the kingdom of God's people, and they have different kings, some of which are all right, some are quite good, a bunch of which are a bit rubbish. And the kingdom split in two between Judah and Israel. And the northern kingdom have particularly bad kings. It all goes really badly, and eventually the Assyrian Empire comes in and just takes everyone into exile. Well, actually, not everybody, most people, just all the intelligent, useful, talented people, the rich people, all of those people, they take off into Assyria, and those people left behind. They've had a bad king, they've had a bad history, and all the people that could possibly help have been carted off to Assyria. And the people left behind become known as the Samaritans. They start to worship God on the mountain rather than in the temple. Some of their faith and belief gets all a bit mixed up. They haven't got a wonderful theology. And then eventually the kingdom of Judah falls and they go off into exile. And they, under Nehemiah, there's a story in Nehemiah and Ezra, that they come back and try to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But the people that are there fight against them. And some of the people in that group are the Samaritans, the people that have been there all along and have got it wrong. And they don't want this new power to take over. The Samaritans. These are people who are religiously isolated. Why the heck is the new big thing in town speaking to a Samaritan in Samaria? Bad choice. You know, we have a whole load of political campaigns going recently. You know, all this stuff in America kicking off. This would be the wrong person to speak to for your media profile. A Samaritan. Not only is it a Samaritan, somebody that's got a whole load of stuff wrong. She's a woman. Jesus shouldn't be seen speaking to a woman on his own at the well in the middle of town where everybody can see. Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman. Women didn't have the same level of authority in that place. She was second class. It was bad for the campaign. Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. This woman is socially isolated. We know that because if you go and collect water from the well, I don't do it very often, if I'm honest, but if you were to create, if you're in a place where you needed to go and collect water from the well, you'd collect it in the morning and in the evening. And people, women, would go and collect their water in the morning and in the evening. And they'd collect together. It would be a social occasion. It would be a chance where you get to talk to everybody. And you get to socialize. This woman is collecting water at the well at noonday when it's hot and it's sweaty because that's the time that she's allowed to go and collect it. She is your ultimate Billy No Mates. Nobody likes her. She doesn't get to hang out with the rest of the women. She is a woman who's not even welcome with the other women at the well. A Samaritan. She is isolated. I love in this passage as well that this woman is not just isolated. She has been through a very difficult time. Jesus says she's had five husbands. And the man that she is not with, now with is no longer, who's not her husband. And I think this passage has been misinterpreted often, actually, because it's focused in on that bit. This woman has five husbands, and the man she's now with is not her husband. Like, as I'm saying this as well, I notice, you know, look round, whenever I say this, all the women in the congregation have a look of, yeah, I know. Because often we focus on five husbands and forget this woman wouldn't have been allowed to divorce her husband. Only her husband can divorce her. Maybe her husbands have died and left her. And as in the culture, if a husband died, somebody in the family should take on that woman as a wife. This woman has been passed between five husbands. And now the man she's with is not her husband. Whether he has decided he didn't want to marry her, whether she's decided I've given up on life and I don't want to marry him. It may be that she's been sinful or promiscuous, it may be. But Jesus doesn't condemn her in this passage. He doesn't talk about her sin. He just talks about her life. When she talks about what she's done, she didn't say, I'm a sinner and Jesus has saved me. She says, let me tell you about a man who could told me everything about my life. This passage isn't about sin. This passage is about acceptance. Just love them. I'll sort them out later, as the sign says. It's about welcome. It's about Jesus's welcome of her. I think she's quite a cynical woman. I wonder whether she's not married to the man she's not with now because she's given up. I've had five husbands. You know, that marriage thing started off really well. But quite frankly, I've just given up. It doesn't make sense anymore. I'm not going to bother this time. We'll just get through. I mean, I go to the well at the middle of the day and nobody likes me. Yeah, I think this woman is that. And also I find in her responses to Jesus, almost a bit of sass, a bit of cynicism, because she pushes back at Jesus. As Jesus comes to her and gives her water, he says, I will give you water. Yeah, that will, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket. Yeah, how are you going to give me this water without a bucket? You know, I mean, it's kind of an obvious thing, but I get a sense of cynicism and sass and pushback. Look, I've seen this before. Yeah, whoever you are, I've seen this before. And then on from there, this water will... they will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty or have to keep coming to this flipping well again. It doesn't say flipping in the... But I think I'm putting that in there. I'll never need to draw water again then. That will be great, wouldn't it? This woman is pushing back. She is a Samaritan. She is a woman. She is socially isolated. She is cynical. And she has been rejected. She is somebody that nobody likes. What's really interesting is you go the chapter before into chapter 3 and Jesus meets another person. He meets this person, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is rich. He is powerful. He is religiously astute. He is well respected. He has great connections. What a wonderful place to get your political campaign going. This is the person that you wanted on your team, isn't it? This is the person that you wanted the endorsement for so everybody votes for you. But then look at the contrast that John puts in these two people. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night in secret and went away with much to think about. The Samaritan woman meets Jesus in the middle of town at the well at noonday. And she goes out and tells everybody about who Jesus is. She says, many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, and she becomes the first evangelist that we find in the Gospel of John. Not Nicodemus, the one that would seem worthy, the one that would seem helpful, but the one that would seem unhelpful. If we're going to welcome people, who do we welcome? Jesus welcomed this woman. He also tells this woman at the end, as she talks about the Messiah, he tells her, I am he. That's where he leaves her. I am he. Now, if you go into scripture, very, very few people Jesus tells that he is the Messiah directly. Very, very few people. But this woman, he tells, because she is not rejected by Jesus. She is fully known. He knows her whole life. She is fully accepted. She is fully welcome. She has great value in his kingdom. I find it interesting, the passage in between is John meeting John the Baptist. And we know that baptism is a place where things turn. And I think things turned for this woman, feeling like somebody that was sinful and rejected and outside, but through the water that she is given, she is accepted. And she gets to meet the Messiah, who tells her directly, I am he. And on from there, she goes out to tell everyone. She tells everyone who he is. There you go. There's her telling everybody. The woman at the well of who Jesus is. He told me everything that everything I have ever done. As we reflect, you might be somebody of which you think, I'm either a bit of a Samaritan woman, I feel a bit isolated, I feel like nobody listens to me, I feel actually my life has been difficult, whether it's because you're a woman or a whole load of other things that people can feel rejected. I want you to know that you are welcomed by Jesus and that you are welcome in this church. In a moment, we're going to take communion, a sign of everybody coming round the Lord's table and accepting his love and sacrifice. Everybody is welcome at this table to share. And we share bread and wine. If you don't want bread because you're gluten-free, we've got some gluten-free bread. If you don't want wine because you don't want to drink that, we've got some blackcurrant juice and you can drink that. You are welcome at this table. You might be that person that needs to feel this welcome. You might be someone that's a part of this church and you want to pray some more about how can we welcome everybody in this place. Not always look for the Nicodemus, but look for this woman at the well. That Jesus can transform you. He can transform this place. That you have a place of privilege. That you can meet directly with I am he, the Messiah. That you can be the evangelist to tell others about what God has done in your life and go on. Welcome all. Welcome all to walk with Jesus. Amen.